who will lead the Calgary Flames in scoring this season? I have five options right now written down in front of me. And I could listen to an argument for any one of them. We'll ask Darren Haynes in the Canadian Press about that momentarily. But first off, as he joins us via the Subway Restaurant's Fresh Take Hotline, Darren Haynes, I believe, the only diehard Minnesota Twins fan I know. And I talked earlier, I was very emotionally invested last night watching Andrew Albers, the Canadian kid, friend of mine, making his major league debut after a lot of years in the minors in A-ball and independent ball and all of that. I get emotionally invested when I watch Graham Dillette play golf, and there's not a lot of other athletes that I root that hard for. Your take last night as the Twins mired in another bad season as you watch this this rookie Canadian kid from Saskatchewan take the mound in Kansas City.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. I mean, that's the thing that I love about summer is baseball. I'm a big baseball guy, and as opposed to hockey, where you look at the game differently, you're covering the game, you're around the game, and it's just a different beast. Baseball is my chance to sit back, relax, and cheer on the teams I enjoy, and really, that was a great night. It was compelling. It was and just a fantastic story that, you know, with all the, you know, the press that's going around baseball right now, and it's all negative. That was a real positive story. That was a sensational story. And for it to be a guy that, a guy out of Saskatchewan that comes in and pitches a phenomenal game. He almost did something that hadn't been done since 2002 and pitch a complete game shutout in his debut. I mean, you think about how many pitchers and how many high profile pitchers have debuted in the last 11 years. I mean,
sure.
That's amazing. It's just,
yep.
it's there's so many angles to the story, and they're all positive, and it's just one of those. It's a guy you want to cheer for, and it was a great night. It was really fun.
It was awesome. And you know what, he's coming on at 8:40 this morning, and we'll talk to him, and I'll tell him this too. But you know, you watch a guy in his major league debut, a guy called up from AAA, and I mean, what are your hopes, what are your expectations, especially going up against one of the hottest teams right now in baseball, the Kansas City Royals, between Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon and Billy Butler and Eric Hosmer. Those guys have been ripping the cover off the ball. And so you watch it, and I honestly thought, you know, what's the narrative going to be? 3 1/3, 2 2/3, couple of walks, some nerves. If he can go 5, maybe has a chance to get a win. What a story it would be. And as that game mowed along, and as his stuff stayed low in the zone, and guys, you know, kept hitting tappers back to the mound, he got a couple double plays, it started to turn into a bit of a special night. And it exceeded certainly my expectations, probably his, and to be honest, with one out and two men on, I would have liked to seen him get another batter.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. He said he was getting tired, and they were at the heart of the order, and so I think Gardenhire had a tough call there. I mean, you want to preserve the shutout, or in terms of you don't want it to get away from him a little bit. So I can see why if they're at a different place in the Kansas City Royals order, maybe they'd play that differently. But I mean, like you said, these aren't, you know, for those casual baseball fans who tune in once it gets into late September and into October, these are not the Kansas City Royals you used to know.
No.
Like, this is a good team, and it was great. And I love a good pitching duel. I'm a guy that really appreciates a well pitched game. I always had a great affinity for Greg Maddux just because he never threw hard, but he pitched. He was a pitcher. He could hit his spots, change the speeds, and that's what Albers did last night. Like, it was just he topped out at mid 80s. That's not a major league fastball, but he mixed speeds. His curveball was down, and he'd go from like 85 to 70 with a breaking pitch, and it was just it was just fun to watch, and it was a really well pitched game.
Yeah, it was awesome, and I agree. I'm a Blue Jays guy, but I do prefer the National League game. I like pitching. I like defense. I like moving runners over. I do like the small ball. I do like the sacrifice bunt. And we've gotten into a money ball era where the three-run home run is the most important play in baseball, or at least it's viewed as such. And you'll have and you see it at minor levels, right? Defense does not get rewarded, right? If you don't have a glove and you don't learn or can't learn the fundamentals of playing defense, but you can mash a ball, guess what? There's a spot for you in the lineup every day. And I'd like to see a little bit more happy medium there.
Yeah. And that's that's why I'm a National Leaguer at heart, grew up an Expos fan. And the reason I kind of latched onto the Twins as my AL team is they always played, to me, National League-style baseball. They had good defense. They played an aggressive game. They kind of moved batters along, that sort of thing. But they've kind of abandoned that lately, and they've played some pretty sloppy defense. And, that's hard to watch when they do that.
It is. And it was kind of special, I thought, that, I mean, the Minnesota Twins, I think the Milwaukee Brewers are in this conversation. They do like Canadians. They do like Canadian baseball. Justin Morneau, obviously. Scott Diamond's been up and down. I thought it was pretty cool for, especially for Morneau to play so well, kind of in support of his fellow Canadian a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, yeah, they've had three this year. Rene Tassone was a Twins property for 3 or 4 years, and now he's gone to Milwaukee. So speaking of the other team, another Canadian, and Corey Koski was obviously a linchpin for the Twins.
Anola, Manitoba, is that right?
I think so, yeah. I'm a patriotic guy. I love, the World Baseball Classic. I had to go back and watch the highlights last night just to see where Albers fit into that brawl they had with Mexico, because he pitched in that game. And he looked like, to me, I caught him a couple times, he was more of the peacemaker. You might want to ask him about that. But I saw him trying to pry guys off of him. But wasn't that fun to watch this March? That was great. I mean, that was a great baseball game, and nothing like playing baseball for keeps in March. That was a fun tournament.
And I wonder, too, if he's a guy, or if he'll tell you, that pitching for his country on a bigger stage and pitching well, and I know he won a gold medal at the Pan American Games and started that final game as well, if more so than playing double-A ball or playing A ball, if playing for his country gave him kind of the boost he needed to really find his way in his pro career.
Well, certainly it aligns that way, doesn't it? If you look at the resumes put together this year coming off of that in the spring, so it's a good point.
All right, the Calgary Flames. We're heading into a new season shortly, and on one hand, I think we know what to expect, and it's kind of the worst. And on the other hand, I think there's a lot that still has to be written. And for the first time in a long time, and I know he didn't last year, but he would have, Jerome McGinley's not going to lead this team in scoring. He's not going to play for this team next year. And the question of, who becomes that go-to guy offensively is a big one. And so I'll ask you, I have a list of five in front of me, five options, and I would imagine yours are the same. If you have five, I'll read you mine, and they're in no particular order. Jiří Hudler, Mike Camilleri, Curtis Glencross, Sven Berchi, and Dennis Weidman. There are five guys that I think have the potential to lead this team in scoring next season. Is yours drastically different?
And it is, and that's the thing that's fun. I mean, how is it possible that you could have 8, 9, 10, 11 different candidates to lead in team of scoring? I think it's a great conversation, and very unique, and probably unique to this season. But Berchi and Hudler I have, but I have, in terms of guys that could and not necessarily should, I have Sean Monahan, TJ Brody, and Matt Stajan.
Matt Stajan, people have a certain idea of him. He did have 55 points playing for Toronto a few years ago. In fact, the year before the trade. It still seems unlikely to me, but he can move the puck, he can distribute it, and depending on who he plays with, it's not the craziest thing out of left field. To you, who is most likely to lead this team in scoring? Who would you wager your paycheck on?
Berchi, all the way. I think Sven Berchi, I think this is his role. This is where he's going to be on this team. This is how his value to this team is as an offensive guy, a skilled guy, a guy contributing. He's the most skilled player on this team. And this is not a season where they're going to stick him in the third line and grow his defensive game. I think they need him to get confidence, to get confidence offensively, and we saw down the stretch what a difference that makes. He was having all sorts of trouble finding his way offensively, and then we got to that last 2-3 weeks of the season, and he put up 9 points in the last 7 games, and he finished the season on a scoring streak of 7 games, and I could see this, where he just kind of picks up where he left off there, as we've seen and in talking to him, and it's like this with all young players, their confidence kind of is like a roller coaster. There's highs and lows, and just trying to kind of keep that confidence once you get it is always a challenge. But I see this as a coming out party for Berchu where he kind of really solidifies his game. And to me, I think that would be my slam dunk. I think I see him as number one on my list with the other guys kind of tied for second or third.
That's very interesting. I definitely see that possibility. 10 points in 20 games last year. As you mentioned, that point streak to end the season. We might be having this conversation a year from now instead. I mean, I think that's a real possibility for Sven, but you're right. He is the most highly skilled guy in this team. He's not going to be buried on the fourth line. He's going to get opportunity. I wonder, though, if at the end of the day, you know, maybe that 57-62 point plateau is a little tough to reach, considering there are guys like Mike Camilleri, who scored 80 points twice already in this league. But is he the guy? And I would say right now that Camilleri would rank number one for me. But is he the guy that does need a bit more of a setup guy?
Yeah, possible. And I wouldn't be surprised if Camilleri is leading this team and scoring at one point, but I see no scenario where he finishes the season with this team.
That makes absolutely no sense to me.
So that's where I cross him off the list, because he may lead the team or be close to the lead in scoring when it gets near that trade deadline, when his contract becomes more affordable for other teams. But there is, he will not have a cushion that will last. And that's where I don't have him on my list at all, because I would be shocked. If Blake Como got you a fifth-round pick last year, there's no way they take Mike Camilleri right to the end of the season. And I don't see him being a fit as a re-signed guy either. He's a guy that just wants to, just from talking to him over the years, he didn't come here to rebuild when he came here. Like, he's a guy that will want to win, want to be in a market where there's a chance to win. And I just don't see him re-signing here, so I think he's gone, and that's not going to leave him as leading scorer.
Right, okay. Yeah, we'll take him out of the equation then, because I agree with you totally. Darren Haynes is our guest from the Canadian Press. Where are we at with Yuri Hudler, and where does he fit in on this team? And it was another one of those things that I think in a dark moment of honesty, Yuri Hudler would tell you maybe he was duped a little bit, chased the money to come here in Calgary, and all of a sudden he's got 3 years left at $4 million per, but he's not going to win a lot of hockey games. And when you're coming out of a market like Detroit, that is an uneasy proposition. But all of a sudden, looks like he's here for the long haul. It's a signing that I think the Calgary Flames were honest with themselves about where they were. They probably wouldn't have done it. That said, he's a decent player. He'll be one of their best, if not their best winger coming up. Where do you see him fitting in?
Yeah, I see him as having a good year. I don't see him getting dealt. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe next summer is where they maybe around the draft, with where they've got 2 years on his deal, and if he puts together a decent 82-game season coming up, where I see he may have some value and they may be able to get something, but I can't see him as a guy they flip this year during the season. So, you know, if you think about it, in Detroit, he was in the shadows of Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and then really he was in the shadow of Iginla last year. So this is really his chance to kind of be center stage. He's kind of one of the headliners this year. I think he could have a very good season, and I would expect him to be right up near the top.
And Curtis Glencross is the other name I have here. Now, I think I think the chances are a little lower with Glencross. I think there's a very good opportunity he leads this team in goals. In fact, I'd bet on that. But 26 goals, 48 points as a career high. This is certainly the year for Glencross to be a leader, maybe wear the C, certainly wear an A. I wonder if that translates into some bigger minutes and with it more points.
Well, I think it would be bigger minutes. I think he's going to be drawing a lot of the tough assignments. I think I think he'll see a lot of the other teams' top lines, and I just don't see him being set up to be an offensive success in the same way a guy like Berchu or Hudler would be. I think Glencross has a lot of value to this team. To be honest, I find his success always. Like, where did that come from? Like, you know, the first year he did it, I would have been in the skeptic category the second year, and then he did it again. So yep. Simpson has a knack for scoring goals, but I don't think he's a guy that's going to carry the team offensively. He's not a catalyst that way. So, you know, he'll be in the mix, but I don't see him being at the top.
And finally, give me your sleeper pick. And I caught it right as we came in. I will say I know who it is. He's 18 years old. My sleeper pick is Dennis Wiedemann. He's scored 50 before, 50 points in 2008, 2009. He's going to play a ton of minutes. A ton of minutes, including a lot of power play as well. And this guy could honestly second assist his way into a 55-point season and lead this team in scoring. That is my sleeper. Who's yours?
Well, my sleeper, I mentioned Monahan, but I honestly, I would never keep him this year, so I don't want to, I won't put him on my list because I'm not passionate enough about him staying here. I think he should go back and not be around this team this particular year. My sleeper would be TJ Brodie, to be honest. He's, you know, he's not going to be, like, he played 24 minutes. He averaged over that final month of the season. He was second behind Berchi in points over those final 10 games. He's not here to be a shutdown defenseman. Like, let's be straight about that. Will they like to see him develop into a top two guy that can play a lot of those minutes? Absolutely. But his value to this team is going to be quarterbacking that power play. He outpointed Wiedemann down the stretch by quite a bit. I know they could be probably pretty close, but I would see Brodie ending up with more points by the time the season is over than Wiedemann. I think he's going to be getting a lot of those. I think a confidence thing again with him. You saw as his confidence grow, how confident he was skating with the puck. Just, he seemed like a different player, and I can see that translating. This team's not going to score a lot. When they do, it probably is going to be on the power play. They have some good pieces that they can put out there. So, I could see us wagering a sandwich on Wiedemann versus Brodie. I think it'll be pretty tight, but I'm going to go Brodie.
I will take that bet. I will definitely take that bet. It's a good one. Brodie over Wiedemann and Super Sven to lead this team in scoring coming up next season. Good stuff. Darren, looking forward to chatting again.
Okay, take care.
All right, that is Darren Haynes from the Canadian Press.